Hello, everyone. Before we get the show started, the Psychosocial Podcast is not a replacement for therapy or mental health treatment. The conversation is for informational and entertainment purposes only. If you find yourself needing professional help, seek treatment with a qualified therapist. Thank you. Now enjoy the show.
Hola, everyone. This is Cynthia Flores. I'm an associate marriage and family therapist. Welcome to the second season of the Psychosocial Podcast. Today's episode is going to be on human first, therapist second, and I'm joined by...
Hi, everybody. This is Liz Hinojosa. I'm a licensed and marriage and family therapist. Excited to be here.
And hi, everyone. My name is Luis Cornejo, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist living and thriving in the San Francisco Bay Area.
All right, everyone. So as we all know, we are all therapists here. Mm-hmm. We know how shit happens sometimes.
What she's saying is we're going to be transparent.
We're going to be transparent. We're
talking about how we're therapists, but also humans, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things that I normally start off with most of my clients when, you know, they come to see me at first because they're talking about coming to see someone and they're going to either fix what's going on or solve the problem. And I tell them, look, I'm human too. This is a human experience, right? It's a very special type of relationship. And even in that moment, right, it's so important to acknowledge our humanity, because that, I think, is what makes a great therapist, is our ability to connect with our human side and be present in these sessions, creating space versus trying to do some of the clinical work that, you know, we're taught to do. And so this episode really centers around that aspect, right? That we're human. We have relationships. We have commitments. We have goals and dreams and fantasies and all these things. And we're also not perfect. And so things come up, shit happens. And you know, that's the biggest part of being human.
I think for me, when I started studying to be a therapist, and something for me that was very clear is, it's like, I really need to know what triggers me. Because when I'm sitting with a client, you know, it's like, I need to be able to make sure that I'm there for my client, but whatever is happening with me, put it aside. And I could be like, okay, that's good information, and I still need to heal from this, yeah. Right? And I think that's also what makes us, like Luis said, it makes us to be good therapists, right? Because I truly believe, for me personally, I believe I was born to do this work as a healer. And I've also, like, I haven't had an easy life. I mean, who has, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've definitely had my own challenges, and I think that within these experiences that I've had in my life, it has also taught me to have more compassion for others, mm-hmm. and also for myself too.
Yeah. And that's amazing, because that's so important, right? When we're doing this work, is reminding ourselves that we also need to take care of ourselves, that we also need to work on the self-love, on the communication, that just because we do this for work and we're professionals and we have the knowledge and skills and the compassion and love and empathy, that we are perfect, right? We're not. We also mess up. We also have to think about the things we say, the capacity and the space that we hold for those outside of the therapy room, and managing, right, our day-to-day and coping with our own baggage, right? Like Liz said, a lot of us who go into the field because we've experienced what it can feel like to be impacted by mental health challenges, right? Whether it's trauma, whether it's loss, grief, whether it's
anxiety,
anger, anxiety, you know, depression, all of these things. And so we come into the field with the idea that we want to help, right? That's why it's the helping professions. And I think acknowledging our humanity is our number one tool, right? Because that is how we heal. We heal through connections. We heal through relationships.
Yeah, I think that I also want to bring up the concept, you know, there is this myth, I think, that people have about therapists, that, you know, or and even our own expectations of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have super high expectations, and I'll speak for myself. I think that, you know, as a recovering perfectionist, and, you know, we know that even perfectionism is something that comes out of, you know, not having control and trauma, right? So there are many factors. And I think for me, one of the things is being too hard on myself sometimes, you know, as a human being and also as a therapist. And I realize all the work for me is also understanding and being compassionate with myself, right? And practicing what I preach. Like when I do that with my clients, how do I, you know, navigate these relationships that I have with my clients as things come up, right? As Liz was saying, countertransference, right? Triggers come up in our relationships with our clients, in our relationships with our friendships, with our family, with our partners. So how do I have this compassion for myself that I'm also learning, that I'm also healing, and I'm not perfect, right? I do make mistakes, and I can recognize them, and I can learn to do things differently. And I think it's a journey, right? Similar to the journey that we emphasize with our clients, we are also on a journey. And I think oftentimes we need to remember and also like be compassionate with ourselves.
Most definitely. And I also think about the importance, you know, along with that compassion is knowing when our cup is full. I think that's something that is not talked about enough is being burned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's real, it's so real, you know, especially we're also living in a pandemic still, mm-hmm. you know, with global warming, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. So with a lot of stuff.
A lot of things, you know, happening. California, we have fires, right? And how important it is, like for myself personally, when I know I've just had one of those days and I'm like coming home and I got to tell my boo, it's like, you know, I'm at capacity. Like, I want to really hear what you have to say because it's important to me. However, right now, ahorita, no puedo. It's like, yeah. I just want to watch TV or do whatever it is decompress. And zone out, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, burnout is real. Compassion fatigue is real. And that's something that we definitely don't talk about. I think also navigating institutions, systemic mm-hmm. oppression, mm-hmm. that is a big deal. And oftentimes it's not talked about mm-hmm. because there's a lot of oppression still and people feel, mm-hmm. you know, fear of retaliation. But a lot of shame too. And a lot of shame around. Because I realize yes. for myself, sometimes I'm like, ooh, was I too demanding, right? Was I asking for too much? And the reality is like, no, you know, what I have to say and what I feel, my feelings are valid. And I'm going to advocate for myself because I wasn't able to do that before. And mm-hmm. my own healing and my journey, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. And it's a process of learning, unlearning, right? That we are human first and that we need to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right.
And especially for us BIPOC folks, yes. right? That there is so much there around, I'm talking about like BIPOC therapists, right? How there's so much there for us too, because we're also navigating the world and we're doing the work. And it's a lot to be in the therapy room supporting someone else and then having ourselves go into the world and deal with these kinds of things. And, you know, I was thinking a lot around the impact, right, just of how we get all of these messages and they get internalized around, you know, how do we have to behave, right? The professional guys, right, of I need to be professional. I need to be able to handle all these things. I need to have all the answer to everything as therapists, right? We can't not know something, right? And so a lot of us do put ourselves under unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm. Very Western.
And I was about to get to that because everybody knows that we talk about the patriarchy, about white supremacy up in here, colonization. So what I was going to say is that we have to remember that this system has been putting that into us from the very beginning, right? Yes. When we get attendance awards, right? If you don't show up because you got sick twice a month, you know, it's like you don't get the award. And it's like this idea that you're told from the beginning that it's not okay for you to take care of yourself. It's not exactly. okay for you to not show mm-hmm. up, right? Mm-hmm. That you need to be on time. You need to be dressed a certain way in a uniform. We're mentally prepared in a lot of ways to go in this route. And so that leads to a lot of us having to struggle with taking care of ourselves. And this is also part of the immigrant mentality. Intergenerational. Thank you, trauma, Cynthia. Right? Exactly. Where we tell ourselves, right, that we have to work hard, that we don't give up, that we don't call mm-hmm. out sick, that we don't speak up, all of these things, you know, that hold us and keep us from being able to ask for these things ourselves. And so a lot of us, when we go into the work as therapists, we expect ourselves to work to the bone, hold space for everyone, and don't remember that, hey, we're not robots. We are burning out too. And then we have guilt and shame about it because we feel like we're failing. Yes. And we don't give ourselves the recognition of humanity. And I think that's why this episode is so important, right? Because we're talking about being human first always and therapist second. Those are our skill sets, our education. But we are human and we'll experience the world just like everyone else.
Yes. And I do want to name, you know, capitalism, right? How, you know, I think as therapists, it's a serving, you know, it's providing care for others. And we're not often paid or compensated the way that we need to. Like, I know Luis, we all have talked about how, you know, it's not even a competition here, but like, we're on demand. Okay, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're always been on demand. There always has been a mental health crisis in this country or everywhere in the world. And we're not given, you know, the recognition, the compensation, right? The support that we need, the systemic changes that need to happen, right? I know a lot of doctors get paid like way more.
Cynthia, I totally like agree with what you're saying. And I also think about how in the mental health field as therapists, we are like the stepchildren. That's how I feel. Like everything that you're saying, right? We are on demand. We're very much needed, but we don't get paid the amount that we deserve.
Exactly.
You know, I think that we need sabbaticals, yo.
I think we do. And honestly, I think at the root of it, we need systemic change and we need policy change and we need more people in our field advocating and in policy doing this work, right? Because I don't see much of that. And that's one of the things that is frustrating for me as a therapist, as a BIPOC therapist, right? Navigating these systems.
And that's part of our humanity, right? Because we also have to survive in these systems. We also have to deal with laws and all of these things, right, that everyone else does. And on top of that, we're also holding, like I said, space for others and their journeys and their process. And so that's where it turns into us having to really prioritize our self-care, our mental health, our physical health, right? And reminding ourselves of, like I said, being that human.
And also community care. I think we need a lot of that. It's such a individualistic approach, right? Of, you know, even going into private practice, right? A lot of people do group private practice. But I think in order also self-care is part of looking into community care and finding our tribe, finding our people that are going to be there and support us through this journey.
I also think about how important it is to listen to our bodies.
Yeah.
And how important it is to be able to slow down and how that, and many times that might feel like a luxury, you know, to many people because, you know, there's therapists that are also parents and have children, right? Yeah. Honestly, like my hat's down to therapists who have kids.
Yes. It's hard. It's such a balance.
It is. I'd like tell my colleagues, man, like I admire you so much. Like I could like, you know, when I come home and I'm tired and it's like, wow, if I had children, you know, but I know it's also that labor of love as well too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It, you know, like I said, that human aspect, right, of us having lives and our relationships and even how those are affected, right? Because even as therapists, we have the skills, we have the know-how, but we don't have perfect relationships, right? We're constantly learning, too, and constantly reevaluating the way that we have relationships.
Well, at least I think many people, not all the therapists or everybody.
Not everybody. Most of us. Dan calling me out, Liz.
I mean, we're human. I think we're all human. Exactly. We're all in this learning, unlearning, reprogramming experience, right? And oftentimes we need to recognize that we're all in this together. We're not perfect, just like Luis was saying. You know, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. And I think a lot around balance. How do we find balance? Navigating the systems, navigating our personal relationships, navigating us with our clients, right? Providing services and therapy. And how do we balance all of that? You know, and I think that that's the question, that everyone is going to be very different. And for me, I think in the personal, I have to, my spirituality is big. You know, I have to be spiritual, my body, I have to engage my body in self-care. You know, I have to be active and eating the foods that are nutritious for me and that give me life force. And, you know, community and my relationships and my family, right, and friends like you two, right, creativity, right, engaging in creativity. Honestly, I was just thinking this the other day, that I think this work can be very draining, right? It can be really draining. And I really love doing this work. I'm sure that we are all in this because we like Liz was saying, right, we want to be healer. We want to, some of us are born with that gift, right, that we want to help others. But I think that oftentimes we forget how challenging it is, like navigating all of everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So,
you know, I also think about, you know, I've been thinking about this, you know, when we're talking about systems as well, is I don't think that these systems were ever built to serve BIPOC. Right. And there's a part of me that's just like, just tear them down and let's rebuild something new. But then it's like, if we don't heal, right, and learn what healthy relationships are, then we're just going to continue to make these or create these unhealthy relationships, right? Mm-hmm. But then also, yeah. Cynthia, like you were saying, like we need policy as well, mm-hmm. right? We need to see that change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that this all, you know, ties back to us in the room, right? As therapists, how we respond, how we show up for our clients, our presence, right? All of these different things that we just mentioned. So it is very complex, and there's a lot that goes into it, right? As therapists, you know, oftentimes folks come in and they have this illusion that therapists have figured something out, right? Or there's been some big secret that they've discovered that they're clearly helping others because they have a better life. And I tell a lot of my clients, look, honestly, the reason why you feel, you know, we're feeling this in the room is because you're here to be vulnerable, right? You're putting your trust in me. And I'm also putting my trust in this process, right? That it is a healing space, that it is a space for people to connect, because we grow and heal through relationships. And if I'm not in a place where I'm recognizing my humanity in that way, then it's going to not allow me to be vulnerable in that capacity, right? Without having to say all of these things about myself to my client, but feeling that safety within that space, right? Creating something, not diagnosing or dissecting my client, you know, and their thought process, but being human and understanding that they're human.
Well, yeah. Most definitely. I also think about how in being in a relationship, right? Like you have, like, let's say you have two people, and I see the relationship as a third entity of itself, right? That you need to give that attention and that trust and that communication to. And it really is, you know, to me, it's something very magical. Mm. Because if you think about how our words and our intentions and our actions are so powerful. Mm. And I think that sometimes, like even for myself, just going into the day to day, you know, I sometimes forget, but then I need to remind myself, and how the healing is also in the relationship, like Luis was saying. It's very powerful. It's very powerful medicine.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, thank you everyone so much for joining us for this episode of the Psychosocial Podcast. We can't wait to see you join us again for the next episode.
Gracias.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.